Welcome to 216, a link to the past randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Today on the show, we've got 2C+. Real big fan of 2C. Really glad to get him on the show and had a really, really fun conversation. So excited for you to hear that. We'll get to that shortly. Lots of stuff going on in Rando right now. I think the biggest one is the new glitch that's been found. I think is called right now the Specky Clip. I think Specky Specs is the one that found it. Basically, you're able to hookshot past the first flooded room that you have to do. You can grab that key, I guess, or even skip it. I'm not sure, but basically you don't need the hammer. It bypasses the hammer. So a lot of conversation about whether or not this is going to be legal. Ever since the council was formed, all new tech is immediately banned until it is approved by the council. Before that, it was kind of like the Wild West, where Mimic Clip was found, and it was just legal. There was no one to really make a ruling on it. So subsequent glitches like Icebreaker, Diver Down, those were banned until the council ruled on them. So this is the same thing. It's probably going to be approved because it's basically the same as like Harapot or Hammer Yumping. You're just getting past a rail quickly. I think if you're go moding, it saves quite a bit of time. It just saves a lot of time in general. You don't have to flood the room, and it'll be interesting for routing when it gets approved. The only way it wouldn't be approved is if the council decided to just re-review all the glitches. Link to the Past Randomizer got grandfathered in glitch-wise from NMG. So whatever the NMG rules were, that's kind of where the original set of rules for Rando was conceived. That's why we have like the hammer yump and fake flippering, all that stuff is legal. When I was first on the council, when the council was first formed, what I wanted to do was review all of the glitches and just kind of decide for Rando whether or not we should allow or disallow certain glitches. That included everything from hovering to fake flipper, hammer yump, all of it. And so instead of like, this tech works in pod, so it should be legal anywhere because it's technically the same tech, wouldn't necessarily apply. We would actually take, does this glitch affect Rando in a good or negative way? I got shot down pretty quickly. And to be fair, it was very early on in the council. It was the first council group, and we were just trying to figure out what to do. It was a pretty big undertaking. I'd kind of like to see the council do it now. I think it'd be a good idea for Rando and not base it off of NMG, because NMG and Rando are so different. So you could have the discussions about hovering and fake flippering. It's weird that people are not for this, but they're just like, yeah, it's legal because the tech is there. I don't think it's good for the game, but we got to approve it. And then also trying to decide which items are skippable, right? No one has a problem with fake flippering. The bow is another one. You need the bow to get to the right side of pod, but you can either mimic clip or potion glitch. And you can mimic clip up GT. So should bow be skippable? I don't know. Like, I think these are valid questions that we've just accepted. And now we're saying you might not need hammer, right? Like if you get the right pendants, you can skip hammer. I do think the specky skip is going to affect entrance more than anything. So it'll be really interesting to see how that is affected. I think playing I wonder if it's beneficial to make it legal temporarily. Like, let's say we're going to make this tech legal for the next 3 weeks or whatever, and then assess. You know, playing with the tech, does it affect the game that much? Who knows? I would like to see the council re-review the glitches and just kind of make an assessment. I know not everyone's going to be happy. Whenever you make a decision, either allowing or disallowing glitches, someone gets upset. So it's going to be tough. I don't envy anyone that would attempt to take that on. But I think it would be interesting. If it was up to me, if I was king of Rando and I got to make the rules, I'd probably get rid of most glitches. Diver Down, gone. Icebreaker, gone. Hovering, gone. Mimic Clip, gone. Fake Flippering is a tough one. I'm not sure where I'd go with that one. Hammer Yump is another one that's kind of interesting. Harapot would be gone. So yeah, I'd get rid of a lot. So it's probably good that I'm not king of Rando. Main tournaments coming to a close soon. We're top 16 for some runners. I think Artie Walsh is into the top 8. Gan's Gone Wild just knocked out Telethar. He's in the top 8. And then in the top 16, we've got Teddo versus Ninjimbro. That should be good. 2C versus Orange. I think they're going to a game 3. CS Tutor and Flip Heel. That's going to be a good one. Lin versus Kaede Rikawa, Bread versus Humbug, and then Radical Sniper versus Schulzer. So my bracket is pretty messed up because I had Matt 7898 in the top four and he's out. I think I had Illis going pretty far. He's out. Zoga is out. I think Humbug is my last remaining top four. So let's see. Let's just do a quick prediction. Radical Sniper versus Schulzer. Jesse's been on a tear, but I don't know if I could pick against Schulzer. So I'll take Schulzer there. I'll take Humbug over Bread. Take Lin over Kaede Rikawa. Give me Flip Hill over CS Tutor. 2C over Orange. And let's go Ninjembro over Teto. That would be Ninjembro versus 2C. I got to go with 2C since he's on the show today. GGW versus Flip Hill. I'll take GGW. So that side of the bracket would be 2C versus GGW. Who is my next week guest. And then we'd have Schulzer versus Humbug. I'll take Humbug. And RD Walsh versus Lin. I'll take Lin. So we have Humbug versus Lin in the other side of the bracket. As much as I like Lin, I'll take Humbug in the finals and GGW in the finals. Let's go GGW. Taking the whole thing over Humbug. That's my prediction. Updated. 80 Keys is going. That's cool. Cross Keys tournament just got announced. I'm sure that will fill up pretty quick. So lots going on in the rando community. But let's get to the interview today with 2C. 2C is such a great person. Just like a good dude. Like someone you want to be friends with. Someone you want to hang out with. Someone who has just like an even keel to them. And I'm really drawn to people like that. And 2C is just very chill. So we had a great conversation. I'm excited for you to hear. We did have a little bit of audio issues. Was no one's fault except for the bot that recorded us. I think, I'm not sure what was going on, but there's some popping that happens in the episode and I've done my best to try to edit that stuff out, but it is what it is. It's not too egregious. So hopefully you can bear with it. It is a great conversation and I'm excited to have him on the show. Let's get to it. 2C. All right, 2C, thank you so much for joining the show, man. Really excited about this conversation. This is one I've wanted to do for a very long time. It just kind of, you know, how the show goes. It's like, oh, there's so many people to talk to. It's hard to get to them all. But I was like, I got to talk to 2C. There's so many questions I got to ask him. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And yeah, don't worry about it. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So when I think of players that have like made a big splash when they come on the scene, there's a couple names that come up. Telethar being probably one of the latest ones, like, you know, comes up and all of a sudden is just like destroying everywhere. 2C is also another one of those names. Like when you came up, and you know, this is it's a good thing. And it's also kind of a bad thing because this is how the community reacts. But you see someone do really, really well. And everyone's like, is that guy cheating? And so when you showed up and you started putting up some serious results. I remember getting some DMs going, is this guy like clean? And I remember watching like, yeah, this guy's just really good. And so I don't even know if that's a question, but really, like, have you been good at video games for a long time? Do you feel like you came in hot to Link to the Past Randomizer?
I would say so, I guess. It's kind of difficult, I guess, to answer that in general, but I would say that I'm trying my best to improve from like a very early stage. So I'm putting a lot of emphasis on mechanics early on.
Like right away, it felt like, again, you were just, winning is not the only barometer, right? Like it's the easiest one to like quantify because you see wins and losses or whatever. But like, I remember watching you pretty early on and your execution was like really clean. But I also having talked with you a bit, know that you done other speed runs, right?
Yeah, speed running is definitely something that some people might know me from before Rando. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Did you know that people were like in quote unquote investigating you early on?
I would say so. Like, I don't know exactly. It was the attitude post race sometimes. It was a little bit weird. But, you know, it's competition, so I figured probably a little bit salty. Like, I get it. Like, everyone gets salty and such.
Right, but, like, as a new... I it's so hard because, you know, a lot of people come in and they're new, and it takes them a while. You see people progress, right? Like, and I would say a majority of the runners that play Link to the Past Randomizer aren't speedrunners. They don't come from, like, a competitive background as far as like speed running or even like racing. So when someone does kind of like show up and they're like good right away, it's almost like a detriment because the community's like, look at that guy. He's like too good. How is that even possible? But it's silly, right? Because like you can be good at video games without that actually having played Link to the Past or Randomizer or whatever, right?
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, in a way, it's kind of like a compliment because, you know, they're like, oh, this guy must be cheating. It's like, all right, you think I'm good, you know?
It is. That's kind of my question is, do you take that as a compliment or how do you take it when you see that kind of stuff happening? Because, you know, people are salty. Like when you're new, like, who's this losing to this 2C guy? Who is this guy? Da, 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 da. And you see that salt kind of like the tilt really happen in real time. Are you able to, do you feel confident enough in yourself, or how did that feel kind of as your kind of first interaction with the larger community?
Yeah, I definitely am like confident in general, say, and it didn't really bother me that much. As a matter of fact, that show is as a challenge to try to maintain this for like a very long time. So that's how they're going to take me seriously in a way.
Sure.
So it was like kind of like a challenge. And at the same time, like the more time we spend with each other competing, I think the, you know, better we'll get to know each other. And eventually, you know, everyone will be like, okay, this guy's not that bad, I guess.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, hanging out in your stream or just kind of getting to know you a little bit as I have and hope to you even more so in the podcast. You're just like a fun, cool dude. To be honest, like I just really enjoy watching you play. I feel like you bring like a lightheartedness, even though there's a high quality to your gameplay. You're just like a fun dude to be around. So I think that kind of eases a lot of that tension, right? Like we'll get into like your history and stuff, but even as a competitor, it feels like you're just having a good time.
Yeah, I would say that the moment I joined Rando, I knew that there were a lot of variables that I cannot really control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always like approached it as, let me try my absolute best as to what I can control.
Mm.
And then, you know, that's how I have like the more light approach, I suppose, like the more fun approach into like, the game. And that can be done with my routing as well, because sometimes, I mean, I sometimes like do a lot of really stupid stuff, even with routing. And
sure.
Most of the times it doesn't work, but when it does work, oh, it feels so good.
Sure. That's the thing that people tend to lose focus on is you'll see a lot of the runners that are at the top of the game do some like silly is not the right word, but maybe unconventional routing, and it works. And you're like, wow, that's really cool. Why can't that ever work for me? But you don't see the times where it doesn't work for those runners, right? Like,
yeah,
you might do something unconventional, you know, 10 times and it works once. And that one time was like in a tournament race or whatever, but you didn't see those other 9 times where it bit you in the ass or something. All right. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say like most of the unsuccessful ones have been on ladder. So it's like no one pays.
Oh, sure. Sure. That makes a lot of sense. All right. So let's kind of rewind it back then and kind of figure out how you came in so hot to Rando. Where did you grow up and how did you, what was gaming like as you were growing up?
I grew up on a small island in Greece. And gaming was like a really big part of my life. That's for sure. That and sports.
Okay.
What
were you playing? Really,
sports wise?
Both sports and games.
Oh, okay. I still have memories like playing Super Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
Even though I was born in 93, like we never had the SNES. So I do remember playing the NES stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers 3, pro wrestling, like those fun NES games.
I remember pro wrestling. Oh man, that was super fun. Yeah.
Yeah, with the star dude and like the beast. So, yeah, that's a very fun game.
That sure is. That's way back. Gosh, I haven't thought about that in a long time. So you had an NES, but you didn't have a SNES. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I have older brother and sister, so you know my brother had the NES, but obviously you know. 3 kids is a little bit difficult financially. It's sure. Like, okay, you got the NES. You don't need this NES kind of deal.
Right. Yeah. So is that what you grew up with mostly, is just playing the regular Nintendo?
No, I would say the N64 was like the big one. The super early days, obviously, you know, when I was like 3, 4, and 5, sure.
The NES. Sure.
But like the N64 and the GameCube were the big ones for me.
Okay. And then sports were replaying as you grew up. I take it soccer was probably pretty big.
Yeah, soccer was by far the most time that I spent on a sport. But like another one that might be interesting, I guess, because a lot of your guests have so many like cool stories of like some weird sport thing that they do. I did a little bit of table tennis as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
ping pong. Yeah. Okay. The fancy version of ping pong.
Yeah.
As a kid, then you were doing like a more competitive table tennis league or something?
No, because unfortunately there wasn't really any like competition and stuff. Like, okay. Again, it's really difficult to be part of like clubs and tournaments and stuff on a small island where if you want to travel to the mainland, you have to take a boat for 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
So obviously my parents didn't really want me to do any of that. And to be fair, I wasn't really that good at ping pong, to be fair. So it's not even worth it, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's something that you and your brothers and sisters, or your siblings then were playing a lot of?
Not really. My father though, like me and my dad play quite a bit. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Till this day, I cannot really beat him. It's kind of crazy.
That's awesome. So you're playing table tennis with your dad. You're playing soccer or football. Yeah. You're playing the 64. What games sort of grab you when early on?
I mean, you know, the regular ones, right? The Mario series stuff, Mario Kart, Mario Parties, you know, the SM64, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Zelda stuff didn't really take me, like, I didn't really complete the games initially. Once, like, I became a little bit older, that's when I came back and beat those games. Both Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
But I did that, I believe it was on the Zelda collection, the GameCube. That's when I did that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So were you playing more 64, more GameCube, or did it just kind of gradually happen as the consoles progressed?
Yeah, gradually as the consoles, for sure. And I guess like I want to throw in like another console, the portable one, the Game Boy Advance. That was like very big for me as well.
Sure. What was it about the Game Boy Advance, or what games kind of were important to you?
I would say the portability thing is like so good, especially when the family has one TV and it's like, okay, you're watching like a series and stuff, like my other, you know, family, I'm going to play on my Game Boy Advance. Like, I'm not going to use the TV.
Sure.
And what games? There was like Pokemon, of course. WarioWare was like a really good one. And
oh, yeah.
Funny enough, the first time I beat A Link to the Past was with a Game Boy Advance.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. So great, because you didn't have the SNES, right? So that had to be your first experience with Link to the Past. That's so cool.
Yeah, I did play a little bit on the SNES, but because my neighbor had it, but, you know, not that much.
I see.
Just maybe Eastern Palace, you know, something like that.
Sure. I'm curious about, you don't have to give up too much personal information, but the island that you grew up on, is it really small? Are you talking, you know, like 100,000 people, smaller? Like, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. 20,000.
20,000. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that many.
Are you still there, by the way? Are you still in the same place?
No, I moved to Norway about 6 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess you don't really, until you moved away, you grew up on that island until you moved away, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, college first, went to like another city in Greece, and then, moved to Norway.
What? I'm just curious about the experience there, because growing up in a small, especially on an island where, you know, you said it takes 10 hours to get to the mainland, did it feel a little bit isolated? You know, like, did it feel like lonely? With, I mean, 20,000 people is still a lot of people, but compared to some of the bigger cities, especially over in Europe, you know, it's pretty small.
I would say it wasn't that lonely. Like, obviously, you know, that's a really fun part of like video games.
Sure.
Like, in a way. But also I had like quite a few friends. We played a lot of football, like soccer, sorry.
No, that's fine. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's football everywhere else except for America. We can exactly. Get over ourselves, yeah.
And not like the fancy version. That's like the fun part, I would say. Because everyone knows like you play soccer on grass. Mm-hmm. But we played on gravel, on cement. You know?
My gosh.
We played street football, basically.
Oh, like, wow.
Total different experience with like a lot of bruises, a lot of stuff like
that. That's unforgiving because I mean you're not slide tackling or doing anything that on gravel or pavement, are you?
I mean, some of us did, yeah.
Oh man, that sounds so brutal. And I mean, just running on gravel and grass is so much different. I mean, gravel and pavement is so much different than running on grass.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's hardcore, though.
Yeah, hardcore. Like, that's one reason that I really love physicality in sports. It's because I grew up with physicality, even though I'm very short. I was like, you know, kicking people and stuff like that, of course. Like, I wasn't, a pushover.
That's awesome. So you, despite your size, you're like, I'm going to be at least as involved as I can be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even though like, even in basketball, for example, that we had to play like gym classes and stuff, you know, my classmates will be in the team that will represent like the island. And they will go to like top four in national. Like they were like very good basketball players. Wow. And I remember I was like getting rebounds out of them because I legit had like an insane vertical jump.
That's and awesome. Like,
and people like didn't really care. So I just like, okay, I'm grabbing every rebound. That was kind of cool.
And gosh, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like Greece in the last like 20 years or so has really upped its basketball game in the world. Yeah. It feels like they're, you know, one of the better countries when it comes to like Olympics and some of the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I got to remind you as well, like 2006 when we beat the U.S. team, that was so nice.
Right. We weren't trying that year. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's true. But to answer your question, yeah, that inspired a young generation for sure. Mm-hmm. The 2005 and 2006 specifically, I would say.
Sure.
Where, you know, Greece was like at the top, I would say. Mm-hmm. They're definitely very, very cool thing.
As far as football goes, I feel like I'm a bit newer to the whole football world. Where does Greece stand up? Are they a team that's pretty much always competing? I'm not even sure what league they play in or if there's like different leagues in Greece.
No, Greece is not doing that well in soccer. Mm. Funny enough, 2004, we won the European Championship, and that was like a miracle run. Mm. It was like the experience of my life, that's for sure.
Sure. Gosh, so that 2000, that early mid-2000s was, sports-wise, a big highlight for you then, right, growing up?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was hyped. We had the Olympics as well in 2004. Like, it was peak sports and athleticism.
Which is perfect for what you're in your early teens then, right?
Yeah. I was 11 at that time.
Yeah. That's awesome. So that's like got to be really inspiring as far as competition and national pride and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I, you know, continue doing like sports and stuff. For sure. Even like track and field, even though I wasn't really that good at anything, I remember I joined a high jump event just because I wanted to skip classes.
Nice. That's smart.
I got fourth. It was for never having done anything. I didn't even practice. I got fourth. Uh-huh. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Well, it sounds like you got some hops on you. Like, it sounds like despite being a little guy that you could get some air.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you watch basketball, people dunking, you get inspired, right?
But, I mean, you can get inspired, but then actually to do it, like I watched a lot of basketball in the 90s. as the light was like the prime time for the Sonics, the Seattle Supersonics. And we all wanted to be like Sean Kemp or Gary Payton or whatever like that. But I could never, ever, I just can barely get off of the ground. It was embarrassing. But yeah, we all wanted to do it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit stubbornness on my side. Like, I can do it. And then, you know, I'll just keep trying and practicing and stuff like that.
I think that's going to bleed into some of the other things that we talk about here. But I mean, before we move off of sports, because we could talk sports probably the entire podcast, especially because you and I kind of connected through sports. Is you know, I don't find a lot of people from Europe really into American football, right? Like, it's starting to build a fan base, and there's more and more games. Like last year, the Seahawks played in like Germany and stuff, and there's always the London games. It feels like it's, you know, they're trying to build a fan base over there. But you, surprisingly to me, were pretty into football, or pretty knowledgeable even when we first kind of started talking about it. How did that sort of happen?
A friend of mine is a Packers fan. And 2018, he was talking about it. I didn't have any idea. And then it happened that in 2019, the basketball podcasts I was listening were coming to an end because of, you know, the post-playoff stuff. So I stuck to the same network and they were talking about NFL. So I was like, okay. I just like learned about the American football through podcasts, I guess.
I see. Yeah. So you just enjoy sports then, right?
Yeah. And I like the analysis as well. Like, even though sometimes I feel like people talk a little bit too much in media, it's kind of fun though. Like, some cool narratives maybe as well. Why not?
It's hard during the off season, right? Like, the NFL wants to be on the front page of the newspaper the entire year, but there's, you know, we're in OTA time. There's no training camp. We're just a few months before the season starts. And yet there's like a million podcasts breaking down, like, what's going to happen this season, or, you know, who's going to be the best, or who's power rankings, blah, 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 blah. It goes on forever. Yeah. That stuff kind of gets tiresome for sure.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I do listen to my fair share of sports podcasting, whether it be football or, as I experienced this last month or so, playoff hockey has been pretty incredible.
Krakens.
That's right. Yeah, man, it was super fun. Something completely new that I experienced. Okay, enough of me. Let's get back to you. So you're playing GameCube. You're playing mostly the Mario series, or is there other games that kind of like other franchises that get you hooked? And then is like Twilight Princess in there? And do you eventually move on to other stuff?
Yeah. So FIFA, I think FIFA 07 was like by far like one of my most played games on the GameCube.
Sure.
The manager, there's like a manager mode where you basically are the coach. And you play the game, obviously, but you make like the lineups and stuff. And I remember I reached the end of season 15. I made plans, and then the game said, "You reached the end of manager mode." I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Time for you to retire, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I was so bummed out.
Sure.
But yeah, I played that game quite a bit.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And aside from like GameCube stuff, I would say PC was also kind of big at that point for me.
Okay. Yeah. What PC games did you start getting into?
So in the early 2000s, I'd say, because my brother got like a PC, he was really excited about that stuff. I got like to learn Unreal Tournament. Yeah. There was like a game called Blade of Darkness, which is, I don't think anyone knows that game, but it was very cool. And of course, Age of Empires 2, which, funny enough, my username comes from like that game in a way.
Okay. How's that?
So my sister came up with that name. It was like CC and the symbol plus, and I made it into 2C+ in a way.
Sure. Yeah.
It was and it was like kind of a joke, I guess, for C++ that my brother was learning at that point, and we kind of mixed those things, you know. And it's my initial, like, Chris, my first name, and Conquistador, which was like the Spanish in Age of Empires 2, because I was playing the Spanish in Age of Empires 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and the plus just, you know, to complete the joke.
Sure. That's awesome. I love when your names just sort of stick like that. Like, I got my name from a comic book. There's like no creativity to it other than I like the
name. Hey, it's a good comic book, right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But when you have like usernames or handles or whatever that have some sort of meaning, whether it's secretive or something that ties back to family and stuff, that's always really fun.
Yeah, especially my username, I'd say, it has like a big connection with my sister because, you know, me and my sister basically were doing everything together game wise.
Sure. So yeah. She was video gaming with you then as you guys grew up.
Oh yeah, competition as well, like super, like Melee. We played so many games of Melee against each other. It was definitely very fun.
Was she better than you?
Oh yes, she was. I couldn't really beat Melee Luigi. Luigi was like so good.
That's awesome. Did that kind of drive you then to try to beat your sister? Did that kind of like drive your competitive nature?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure I was like very angry as well when I was losing.
Sure.
I mean, young kids, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You look back on it as like good times, but at the moment, you know, you're just getting pissed as you're getting the shit kicked out of you by Luigi. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I know.
when did you start getting into speedrunning then? Was it later on?
Oh yeah, way later. I knew Twitch and stuff like that before I got into speedrunning.
Okay. So was that when you discovered like Twitch, and was it Twitch or did you kind of find like Let's Plays first, or what was your introduction to Twitch?
Twitch was made like through League of Legends, like the esports stuff, season two, like the very, very beginning. And, you know, if you want to like, I was playing the game, and if you want to improve, you got to watch the best. So at that time I was watching like whoever was on Twitch, I guess.
Okay. So when you go from like GameCube, do you strictly go to more PC stuff and start going into like League of Legends, or are you playing other consoles as well?
Right before I went to college, we had like the Wii for like my high school years.
Mm-hmm.
So I played a little bit of the Wii as well. Okay. But yeah, as soon as I went to college, it was all PC gaming for me.
Mm-hmm. Was it mostly League of Legends, or did you play other stuff? Like, it feels like you might have been playing StarCraft or something.
No.
Okay.
I played a bunch of indie games because I had a very bad laptop.
Oh, I see.
I craved gaming. Like, I grew up with gaming, right? So I didn't know what to do. So I found those like indie games. I didn't know what they were at first. And that's how I fell in love with them. Even till this day, I have so many indie games that I haven't even played because of like, you know, they were so easily accessible for me, cheap as well.
And it didn't crash your laptop.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure. That's awesome. So is it then through, so then where does like Twitch and like you, or do you watch Let's Plays or anything like that stuff? Did that happen, or was it just, where did you then kind of get into League of Legends? Was it after college?
No, it was during college. With my college friends, we were playing League. Just like, you know, on my off time, I guess I was doing some indie game stuff as well.
Sure.
But Let's Plays, there was like a YouTuber, but also streaming on Twitch at that point, Northern Lion. Okay. I still watch him, actually, funny enough, so many years. Still going strong. But yeah, like I was like very early on Twitch, I guess, like 2012.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. Yeah,
that makes, I mean, with League of Legends, that makes sense, right? Like, that's one of the biggest games on Twitch, if not the biggest, maybe Fortnite's bigger, I'm not sure. So do you then, do you get competitive with League of Legends?
I tried in a way, but honestly, I didn't really have enough time to play that much. Plus, I did not enjoy that much
playing.
It's like, if you want to improve, you got to play on your own.
Sure.
To climb like the rank and stuff. I enjoy playing with my friends, so I mostly play with my friends.
So like it's mostly 90. A casual thing then.
Casual, but honestly, I was tryharding quite a bit.
I see.
Yeah.
So competitive wise, like it feels like from an early age, you just kind of had that competitive drive in you then, right? Whether it be through sports or through video games.
Yeah. And sports, I would say sports was by far the biggest thing in my life as far as competition.
I see. So video games, more casual sports, this kind of scratches that competitive itch for me.
Yeah, exactly. Until, okay, of course, I got injured, and then I was like, okay, let's go into video game competition stuff.
And that's usually what it is, right? Like, you, for some reason or another, can no longer play the sport that allowed you to have that competitive or hit that competitive itch. What was it, a bad injury?
Not really, honestly. I just, I got hit in the spine, in the lower part of the spine.
Ow. Gosh, sounds bad.
I mean, the recovery was not that difficult, to be fair. I just was lazy. I was just lazy to do it. So
I see.
I never really bothered.
Was this in football?
Yeah, in football. I was playing goalkeeper at that point, and then I tackled someone, and then he fell with his knee on my spine.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it was, at that moment, it was very painful.
I mean, it's just everything about it. You said it like it wasn't that big of a deal, but it sounds just awful. It sounds awful. So,
yeah, I mean, you know,
where were you? Was this like college? Were you playing college? Okay.
Yeah.
Was there hopes to maybe go professional or semi-professional or anything?
So I tried in amateur league. I even signed a contract, I remember, for 200 euros, which is, not that much, honestly.
Sure.
But like to play two friendly games, I play those two friendly games, but they never paid me. I honestly didn't really want to bother taking the money. I'm like, is it really worth it? Yeah. I don't know. But the whole situation was like really depressing, honestly. Like, the amateur scene is terrible. It's like, how are you going to grow from this? When people are just drinking and smoking in the locker room.
Sure. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. So, but we did play 5v5 tournaments. That was like the big thing for me. It's like a different format where you play.
Is it like an indoor?
Kind of, yeah. You play in a cage in artificial grass. Mm-hmm. And like the goalposts are like handball goalposts. They're a little bit smaller.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Growing up, there was like an amateur semi-pro indoor soccer league that we'd go to called the Tacoma Stars. Oh, nice. And it was small. It's like a lot smaller, almost like a hockey rink.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was pretty intense for soccer, at least. It was pretty intense because of the smaller size and the walls and everything.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of like that street football element that I grew up with.
Sure.
That's like how it was more natural to me, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you this. Where was Zelda in all of this? Just the whether it be the GameCube, Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword or Wind Waker, where was your love or appreciation for the Zelda series growing up? Or was there even any?
I love the games for sure. Like, I think we play like almost everything except from like the Oracle stuff, like the Game Boy Color stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like the past, like the Wii U, like Skyward Sword, I never played that either.
But okay.
Link's Awakening was like a really great memory. It was my first Zelda game on the Game Boy. And that's like, you know, my brother was excited about Zelda, so I was also excited about Zelda.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. The Link's Awakening is a great one too, because it's such a well done game, despite the limitations of the Game Boy. Like, it does so much.
Yeah, and I remember I reached very far when I was like very young. I think Turtle Rock, and I had to blow up a wall. And I didn't know how to do that. I was like kind of like an idiot, I think, back then.
I mean, you're probably a kid, right?
Like, I don't, yeah.
Kids are kind of dumb, but whatever. okay, so you're kind of introduced to Twitch through League of Legends. Where does speedrunning kind of fall into place?
So at that point, I was also like in a variety streamer. Like, I knew what variety streamers were in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I branched out from like League of Legends on Twitch to see some other stuff. So as I was scrolling through the game list, I saw like a game that I was interested in. Like, oh, I remember that game when I was young. And I saw Super Mario Sunshine. And that was a Fire Dragon. I don't know if you know them, but they're still streaming now, I think, on Twitch. And they were like doing speedruns of Super Mario Sunshine.
Okay. Yeah. So did you start running Super Mario Sunshine?
Oh, no.
Oh, just more interested in watching someone do speedruns of Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, it was like something that I had in the background as I was like studying or something.
I see. Yeah. So what was the game for you that said, let me try to speedrun this?
That was way later, actually, in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. In 2017, it was this game called Cuphead that got released. Mm. It was a very hard game.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not have any difficulty with that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like natural. So I was like, oh, I'm good at this game. Everyone's saying it's difficult. Maybe this is like a time to dive into speedrunning. Why not? Give it a try.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
It was rough at the start.
Sure. Because there's a difference of being good at something and then speedrunning it, right? Like,
yeah,
it takes a drive and a motivation to get really good to speedrun something, whatever game it is.
Yeah, I think the hardest part for everyone who is like starting, even like in randomizer, I would say someone who's like new, is like figuring out a way to improve fast. Like, what's your practice method?
Mm.
And it took me a while to figure out exactly what I wanted to do, because like what I was watching from like very like big speedrunners was they were doing speedruns, but I didn't see the practice that they were doing. Mm. So it took me a while to be like, you know what? Practice is very OP. Maybe I should do that.
Sure. And so was it just putting in a lot of time with Cuphead? Because I'm looking at your, gosh, you've got a lot of games that you've run on your speedrun.com yeah. list. With Cuphead, what are you, top 40 something?
I think I probably am still top 15 at that point.
Okay.
Like the peak that I reached was second. Behind the Mexican runner. That was like back in, you know, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 2 seconds behind world record at that point.
Wow. So yeah, I'm looking at Cuphead. Is it Cuphead category extensions? Any percent? Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff. The all bosses regular. That's the category. All bosses on regular difficulty.
Okay.
And it was the legacy version, basically the very first version of the game, because it has glitches and stuff.
Sure. The 1.0 version. Yeah. So it says you're currently seventh.
Okay. That might not be right.
Okay. 13th. I don't know. There's a bunch. There's a lot of categories. So basically it sounds like you just grinded, right? Is that kind of what it was with Cuphead?
Yeah, exactly. I grinded, and something like with indie games in general is there is a lot of hype at the start, and then people like go away. Like they don't play the game that much.
Sure.
So like if you grind, eventually you will be amongst like the best, because you will be improving all the time and there's not that much competition, I'd say.
Mm, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking at your speedrun.com user profile, you didn't just stop with Cuphead. That just sort of unlocked something in you then, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I want to try a platformer, but I guess I tried a million platformers, so I don't know.
Okay, so, I mean, let's talk a little bit about this. You said, you know, the difference between, or you know, being good at the game and being good at a speedrun of it is putting in the time. And I look at the list of games here. I mean, you've got, oh gosh, I don't even know, 373 total runs. That's a lot of time put into to many different games. Like, where I guess the question is, how do you find all the time to grind? Or do you pick a game, grind it, and then kind of move on?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, especially with like a lot of those games in that list. They're like some very small NES games.
Sure, I'm looking at the Die Hard game with your fifth overall in Die Hard on the NES with a minute 46 seconds, and it even has milliseconds on there as well.
Do you know that there's a Die Hard world record progression video, and that's very hype?
Is it really?
Yeah, there is one.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
You should see like my Sid Meier's Pirates speedrun. It's 3 second speedrun. That's my highlight, I would say.
So I mean, in 3 seconds, what are you doing?
You just mash buttons. That's it.
For 3 seconds?
Yeah, it's like some menuing as well, which is kind of funny. But it's a very wild run, I gotta say.
Wow. But it looks like there's a lot of actual like NES games on here. Is it the simplicity, the shortness of the NES games that kind of drew you to them?
Yeah, as you mentioned, like time is important, right? And stuff like that. Like, where do I find the time? The NES games, some of them are very simple. So I didn't even like grind that much. I just like did a run or two. And specifically, the reason I have a lot of NES runs are is because of like the Big 20, which is a lot of people maybe are familiar with the Super 16, mm-hmm. which is like the 16 SNES games back to back as a race.
Mm-hmm.
There is like the equivalent for the NES called the Big 20, which is 20 NES all back to back in a race scenario. And I was participating in two of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I take it a lot of the NES games are pretty short.
Yeah, exactly. They're short, or sometimes they have short goals. Like they make some simple goals, like reach three. Yeah.
I see. Okay. So that does this become kind of your life then? Is just trying to grind out these NES speedruns and throwing in, you know, something like the Messenger as well while you're...
Yeah, I would say I wasn't necessarily grinding the NES games. I was like, the main games that I had were Cuphead at first, then mm-hmm. Shovel Knight, then mm-hmm. The Messenger. Like those three were my main games.
I see. So what is it about speedrunning for you then? What was it that kind of captured you or brought you joy?
The adrenaline, I would say. Like when you are at like a very good pace, especially like the higher the rank, I would also say, like world record pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very exciting. I cannot really explain it, but just to say something, which might be a little bit stupid, but I have done bungee jumping.
Okay.
And it kind of felt similar to that.
Sure. The adrenaline of the fall, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then as you get the PB or the world record or whatever, you know, it's like when they lift you up from like the bungee jumping stuff, because you're like done bouncing and you just enjoy the view. And you're like, I did it.
Mm-hmm. Is bungee jumping something you've done multiple times?
No, I've done it once.
Okay.
I'd like to try it again. That would be nice.
Which of these is the one that you feel the most proud of? Is it that Sid Meier's 2 seconds, just shade of, you know, frames under 3 seconds? Which one of these?
The Messenger is by far. Messenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one you feel you put the most time into? Because you have two world records on that one.
Yeah. For when I retired, let's put it in brackets, the retired thing. Mm-hmm. I had a 16 out of the 19 world records.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was looking at the extensions. Yeah. Even more. Gosh, there's so many different categories.
Yeah. Like the main ones are like three, let's say. And I had like 2 out of 3 at that point.
Wow.
But like I was like at the peak, right? And that allowed me to do a lot of really cool stuff. And that's why I feel the most proud of the Messenger. Like it allowed me to go to ESA or... like ESA Marathon, for those who are not familiar, is the European Speedrunning Assembly.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The equivalent of GDQ, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool. So you actually got invited to do those, or you applied to do those, the run the Messenger there?
Yeah, I applied. I don't think they invite people. Maybe they do, some really big names.
sure.
But like if you have like a really good time, I would say, and you are like nice, I suppose, mm-hmm. like as a person, they can accept you very easily, I would say. And
sure.
Being really sense. Good allow me to partake.
How many times did you end up doing that? Just the once?
I went twice in 2019. Okay. Yeah, in the winter and the summer event.
Okay. How'd those runs go? I take it they're available to watch online?
Yeah. ESA does a lot of reruns. And my Messenger run at ESA Summer has been run so many times.
That's got to feel pretty good.
It does. Yeah. And every single time I'm like, wow, I'm very tired in that one because it was 6 a.m. in the morning.
Sure. Which category did you run?
Any percent, which is the whole game, basically.
Okay. Is that the one that you, any percent and no OOB, no upgrades? Is that the one?
No. It's just no out of bounds with the upgrades. Yeah.
Okay. And did you feel those runs went well for you? at those conventions?
Yeah, all those runs were definitely really exciting. The best part, honestly, was the fact that my friends actually stayed up at night with me to be at 6 a.m. in the crowd.
That's awesome.
That, to me, like, that meant a lot to me. So
sure. Yeah.
That's very nice.
That's super cool, man. There's so I love that we're doing this podcast because there's, gosh, I'm learning so much that I just didn't know, right? We just see you as a ALTTPR runner, and that is really good. But damn, look at all, I mean, just all this time that you spent, even if it's not a ton of time grinding each of these games, you have really good times and numbers on a lot of these silly games, yeah. Like Smurfs. 9 minutes, just under 10 minutes for the Smurfs on NES. That's pretty awesome. So I guess the question then comes, where does Rando come from all this?
Rando, so because like I'm new to racing, many people don't know that I started playing in 2017, actually.
Okay.
Right at like November 2017, I believe, JC or Fizzle, one of the Speed Gaming representatives, reached out to the Cuphead Discord for like a showcase race of Cuphead. And I didn't know what speed gaming was. So I looked up the VODs, and then that's how I found Rando.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, then a friend of mine was like, do you want to play? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
So you've been playing since 2017?
I played in 2017. Okay, I haven't been playing. Yeah.
I see. So what was your first experience with it? Was it just because you weren't as familiar with Link to the Past then? I take it you've played it on the Game Boy, as we mentioned, but it wasn't what it was for a lot of us, where that group, you know, where we grew up with it, and it was our you know, some of our favorite games.
Yeah, I didn't know where the locations were. I was in a voice call with my friend, because every single seat that I'd done back then, I always did it with a race partner. Like my friend was racing me like I never even done one on my own back then.
Oh, okay.
And the very first one that we did, it took us about 9 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't even beat the seed because I forgot a key in GT. I used like the key in the middle door as well. And yeah, that was rough.
So this was fun, but I don't need any more of this then? Is that kind of what it was?
So I reached sub 2 in open. And then my friend was like, I don't want to play anymore, because you got too good. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going back to Cuphead.
I see. So it really was like a co-op thing for you then. It was, I want to play this with my friend. I'm not really interested in racing as far as like the community goes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the racing aspect, I think if I joined, I figured that I was going to need a lot of work because the game is old and people probably already have insane amount of time into the game.
Right.
And
it's not like the Smurfs who like, how many people have actually played the Smurfs on NES, right? Like,
yeah,
not as, you know, a lot more people played Link to the Past or Zelda 2 or whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, I was also kind of following the racing scene, but not that much. So I knew, you know, how many people were racing. So it was an active community. And I figured that if I was going to join, I'm going to need a lot of time. And I don't want to do that.
Sure. You knew how much commitment it would take for you specifically, someone that puts a lot of time and effort into getting good at something, right? Like,
yeah.
So you go away and go back to Cuphead and some of the other games that you're playing. What then draws you into the competitive rando scene?
Speed gaming retirement. speed running, sorry.
I see. Sorry. Yeah. Did you just burn yourself out then?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time burnout. In general, I just was not enjoying it that much. I don't know. There's like a lot of different things. Some of them I don't really want to mention. Some, you know, personal stuff, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I reached like the point where I was not enjoying it that much. And I said, okay, I'm done.
And this is, you're done with all of speedrunning, right? Is that kind of the idea? Like, I'm just going to be done?
Yeah. But, you know, I came back and did some other stuff. But like, yeah.
Sure. But at that moment, you're like, I'm not going to be doing, it's not just Cuphead. It's not just the Messenger. Yeah. I'm just done. I got to be done speedrunning.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I left at my peak as well in some games. So I felt good about that.
Sure.
No regrets and stuff like that. So it was kind of nice.
So does that draw you then to racing? Because it is a different beast than speedrunning, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, to be fair, I've done over 200 races on SRL before Rando through speedrunning. So I'm familiar with races, but like Rando Races, what drew me in was League Season 2.
Okay.
Because Dragon,
I like what Dragon's, I'm hearing.
Dragon's Strike is a really good friend of mine. And I knew him from speedrunning, like in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But all that time, I didn't even know he was playing Rando.
Sure.
And then suddenly I see him playing Pilot Spoiler with Ravis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is actually so cool. And then I find out what League is in general. And I'm like, this is so cool. And that kind of drew me towards Rando.
What was it about League then that kind of drew you in? The idea of a tournament, because that was the first tournament you saw? Or was it the idea of like teammates? Or what was it about the League?
I like the structure, like the whole thing that with points and, you know, all that stuff that is going on. It feels more like a professional thing in a way.
Mm.
Rather than just, you know what, let's put seating and then brackets, you know.
Sure.
It's just, it was like kind of cool that you also played with friends, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Dragon Strike already had a team. So did you then just strike, kind of dive right in to racing?
It was like May of 2020, also with like the COVID stuff. Of course, sure. We had a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Ravis and Kermit, which are like Dragon Strike's teammates.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing like ladder season 0, I believe. There was like a secret ladder season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was like watching them doing all those stuff. And, you know, I really want to dive into that. So I started my first race with ladder. And funny enough, my first opponent was Kermit.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. How did it go?
I lost by 30 minutes.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Like Kermit's been racing for a really long time. He's really good at the game.
Yeah.
So did it kind of sink its teeth into you then at that moment? Were you then like, oh, I really want to grind, do what I've been doing with speedrunning and apply that to this?
Yeah, I would say the elements that I cannot control, like the lack factor, played like a huge role into me like playing this. Because I want to escape from like the high mechanical stuff, and you mess up one thing and it's over kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into like the more risky gambling thing. And, you know, I watch Kermit a lot. He's my sensei. And you know how Kermit plays.
Yes, I do.
So you can understand how I adopted similar stuff or similar traits, I guess, to Kermit play style.
Sure.
Into my own.
There's things that Kermit does that he'll talk about. I understand what he does. Kind of, but they don't totally make sense, right? Like it just kind of follows his gut a little bit, and it's like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's like, what are you doing, Kermit? Like he'll just walk by certain checks and you're like, what are you doing? And you know,
yeah,
and it was crazy.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like recent discussions that I have with some people, some of my friends, like Structural Mike and Telethor, for example, where I'm going to be like, yeah, I did this. I think it makes sense. And they're like, oh, come on, man. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel that. That's for sure.
I think what's cool about the game, though, is it allows runners, and people might find this frustrating, but it allows runners to do whatever you want, right? Like, yes, yeah, there's like the meta or efficiency or whatever. And then there's sometimes just going to progression that just kind of works out. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, there's no like logic to it. It just kind of lucks your way. And that will frustrate the hell out of players, but it happens, right? Like that's the whole point, is just trying to find those edge cases or taking risks or doing things against the norm that just kind of work out.
Yeah, it's part of the game, as you said. And I totally get the frustration. Like, I mean, I get frustrated as well. Like it's everyone will at one point, I think. But, you know, those who take risks also, you know, feel it big time as well when the risk doesn't really work out.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, everyone in the end feels bad. That's what I learned from Rando.
Right. There's no way to escape it. You're going to get burned at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you start playing ladder. Start doing tournaments? Do you join any of the main tournaments? I know you end up joining the league in season 3, in the first season that there's the open and the invitational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I joined that with Wired Wiki and Crowbell. Just to mention quickly, Wiki and Nielsen Alex are the only two people that I have met in real life.
Oh, okay.
They were like at ESA.
Right.
And And so it was natural for me to ask Wiki. Nielsen had a team already, so I couldn't really ask him. So, sure. And then Krellbell was through Oro's free agent list.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you join, and it goes pretty well your first season, right? You guys go 11-3 in the Open League, and it looks like you made the conference finals, which means that gets you promoted, right?
Yeah, exactly. We got promoted. Playoff Wiki carried us big time. It was very fun, yeah.
So tell me about that first kind of experience in the league for you.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking, I guess, because I knew that I had to learn keys. At that point, the only thing I played was casual boots and open.
Oh, sure.
Like, I never played anything else. And during that league, I was like, okay, I need to learn some other stuff as well. But, like, the experience with Co-op, like, playing with Krell and Wiki, they're excellent guys. And, you know, I really enjoyed that time for sure. It was, like, a very fun thing.
League. Yeah, I mean, what a season you had, too. I mean, just the entire team, like I said, going 11-3. And then it looks like he got swept in the conference finals. But, you know, that's one of the cool things about being in the Open is when you hit the top four, it's all icing, right? Because you kind of hit the goal of making the Invitational. Yeah. Was that the goal, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was really sad that Open and Invitational thing existed because I wanted to play against Team Hima.
Oh, sure.
But the goal was like, okay, let me go Invitational. So that next year, next time, we're going to play against Team Hima. And then Team Hima almost got relegated, which was very, very sad.
Right. Gosh, that was some of the most exciting rando that I've ever seen is the Hima stuff for fighting for their spot in season three. So you come back for season four, you do get to play against Team Hima, and it looks like it was their favorite mode, which is Sporlock. Co-op, the Sporlock pilot.
Yeah, and despite the results, they didn't really go well for us. I honestly got like the race that I wanted. I got to play against Dragon Strike.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it was pilot stuff, so it's a little bit on the weird side, I would say.
Sure.
But I still like got to race Dragon. This is like the only time I have raced Dragon in an official race. We had like a restream and stuff, so I was very happy about that.
Sure, that's really cool. You get a race against your friend. And it looked like it was a pretty close race. You lost by just over a minute.
I died to VT, unfortunately.
You did what? So
I died on VT.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that was very sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a spoiler, so low percentage step stuff. Understandable. But yeah. So you guys joined the Invitational. It doesn't go as well as it did for season three. It looks like you guys went 4-10. How were you feeling after that? Did it feel like, I don't know. Just tell me how you're feeling going into that season.
Mixed feelings in general. Like I got to play against a lot of people that I wanted to play. So that was like a really cool thing. We were also in the group with the Prompts time. So from very early on, we did not have to worry about getting relegated. So there was like a very extra like thing off our minds, and we could just like enjoy the races from there.
Yeah. So you finished 4-10, didn't make the playoffs. You guys all come back for season five. So you've been together for three seasons now, and it looks like you didn't make the playoffs, but did improve going 7-7.
Yeah, the very last race actually was the decider of who was going to get the playoffs. And Bolas Azules got the win in the very last race, and they managed to grab the fourth spot. It was a very nice race. I enjoyed watching that.
Is it different when you're watching it and you have no control?
Kind of, but at the same time, I'm more of a fan in a way, not rando. Like, I'm not thinking analytical plays and stuff like that. I'm like, let's go team. I'm more in that mode.
That's kind of what's the fun part about League, right? Is the investment, even when you're not running.
Exactly. Yeah.
So is the okay game coming back for season six when it happens?
Okay game will not be back for season six.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much like I want to say about it, because like I don't know if my new teammates want to say something, but
okay. So you've already got a new team lined up for season six.
Yeah. I'm going to be joining another team. That's for sure.
Okay. Interesting. That's going to be fun. Yeah. Overall, I mean, gosh, we're an hour and we barely talked any rando. So let's kind of talk back about your experience and kind of finding a community then in Rando? Because, you know, we talked a little bit how you came in guns a-blazing and just kind of picked the game up really quickly, which makes a lot of sense when you see, you know, the background that that you have. Did you feel like you found, other than, like you said, Dragonstrike was your connection and Team He-Man and stuff, but did you find other people in the community quickly to kind of like feel like you're a part of the community?
Kind of. I think a few ladder opponents, like we were playing against each other often. So, you know, we kind of knew each other in a way, but, you know, I'm kind of a shy person. So I didn't really want to like approach like someone and stuff. I don't know. It was kind of weird, I guess. It took me a while to find a community, I suppose.
Mm. Do you feel like you are a part of the community now though?
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially now that I joined like one of the sub communities, I guess you could say, with, you know, Brave and the last location years in general, like Braves and Arcane and Mike.
Sure.
And of course, like everyone else involved with our community. Wonderful people. Right.
It helps being kind of in the same area, time zone.
Exactly.
Playing with people that are around you. Of course, Nielsen Alex is one of the good guys of the community as well.
Yeah.
How has the tournament grind gone for you?
Tournament has been going very good, I would say. Like result-wise, you can make like an argument if it's good or not. I would say it's a success in my book. My very first turn in 2020 SGL, it was like the open boots. I got top 16, which that was a very surprising thing. And I'm pretty sure we were talking at the beginning of the episode about the cheating stuff. I'm 100% sure people were like, okay, this guy is cheating.
Yeah.
There's no way. And I was like, oh, I really hope they don't think like that. That was like on my mind, I guess.
I think all of the good players, let's be honest. I mean, it happens when you start doing well, the first inclination that everyone has, whether it's right or wrong, and it's wrong most 99% of the time, is they must be cheating. It's just our reactions. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's just they must be cheating. So you do have to take it as a compliment, because if you're not getting accused of cheating, then you're probably not winning that much. No one really ever accused me of cheating. I'm a little sad about that. But gosh, I remember my first interactions with Gamachu. I you know, that dude came out blazing, and I was racing against him with P-Train. And I remember messaging P-Train, I'm like, is this dude a cheater or is he just really good? So yeah, it happens to all the best. So take it as a compliment. But it feels like, you know, to get those tournament results in that fast, you know, and that consistent, it does take a sort of dedication. Did you pull out the practice hack and start practicing? Did you do any NMG grinding, or was it mostly like routing and things like that?
I spent a lot of time on routing, big time, analyzing a lot of the top players as well. Picking up like some habits that they have, like Gem. I watched a lot of Gem.
Oh, it's a good one. Yeah.
Airy, of course. Like, I love Airy. He's such a wonderful person.
Sure.
So helpful as well. And yeah, as you said, I did also use the practice hack a lot back then, especially for like boss fights and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so overall, how's your experience been as part of the Rando community, as one of the better top runners? You know, you kind of find your community with Scottish Brave and Zenner Kane and them. Has it been a positive experience? Does it feel like you're enjoying Rando where it is?
Yeah, I would say I'm enjoying it. I really like the pickup races a little bit more these days. And obviously with like time commitment, like I'm having like some life plans, I think I'm going to be reducing the tournament life a little bit.
Sure.
But it has been a very pleasant experience, that's for sure. There are like some post-race chats that are a little bit weird to navigate sometimes.
Sure.
But, you know, we mentioned that like people can get salty, and it's understandable. Like, we're all competitors at the end of the day. So,
yeah. You know what? I'm going to accuse you of cheating, because I'm just looking at our ladder results, and we've raced 5 times on the ladder, and my record is 1-4. That's not possible, TC. I feel like you must have cheated.
Yeah, I do remember that one win you got.
Our last race was a win in inverted cross keys. So, I got to take the small victories where I can. Yeah. But overall, do you find the health of where Rando is to be in a good spot? You know, there's tournament after tournament after tournament. Do you feel like Rando can maintain that?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a little bit on the unpopular opinion, because like I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, too many tournaments and stuff. Mm-hmm. As long as people signing up, like, I don't think there's an issue, because not every tournament wants to determine who's the best. They just probably want to play games.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a little bit excessive using a tournament format. I can give you that. But at the same time, if there's a demand, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does it have to be like the best random player winning every tournament, I guess?
Sure. Sure. Are you playing in the current main tournament that's going on right now?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
How's that going?
I'm in the top 64 right now, playing against Jedoman.
Okay.
And I'm up one game.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the furthest you've made it in a main tournament?
Top 32. It was the 2022 tournament.
Okay.
And I played against Vortex. I lost both of those games.
Mm. Okay.
You did commentary in one of them. I remember that.
Did I? Gosh, I've done a lot of commentary.
Yeah.
I have the worst memory when it comes to this stuff. What was your experience this year with the qualifiers? How did you feel, you know, you've done, gosh, this is three or four main tournaments that you've done now, with it being Asyncs, or did you join the live races? I'm not sure. What was your experience with the qualifiers and your opinions on how it went?
Well, I was one of the few people that actually did all five qualifiers, the live ones.
Oh, okay. So you didn't do any of the Asyncs.
Yeah. And also part of like me not wanting to do the Asyncs was I didn't know exactly how the system works. I was too lazy to read.
Great.
I'm like, okay, the live races are like okay times on me, so I might as well do them and don't have to read stuff. But I feel like the system is good, because people need, they can play in their, you know, free time. So that's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's get to the real question. And I'm curious about this, because I talked about how like pleasant of a person you are. Like, I just enjoy kind of watching you when you race, because it feels like you're having fun. You mentioned you do get tilted. So the question, you know, that I ask everyone is how do you handle tilt, and whether it's during a seed or at the end? I know you're not used to losing that much, but do you get tilted, and how do you handle it?
Yeah, I definitely get tilted. I think the biggest factor for the tilt for me is when I'm playing really bad, because like I know I can do better, and I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, and that frustrates me a bit. But, you know, I just deep breath, focus on my mechanics. That's like the number one thing that goes through my mind. Because as long as my mechanics are good, you know, things can carry a little bit. And yeah, in general, for like tilt, there's like some stuff that I carry for competition, even in sports. Some rules, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the first one, is stay humble. That's like by far the most important one, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is something that I might say that the community has a little bit of an issue.
Let's face it. It's a big issue. Yeah. Let's be frank. It's an issue for sure.
Like there are like the people that are way too humble sometimes. Like, oh, I'm not that good. I'm like, come on, dude, you're good. Don't worry about it. And then there's the other aspect that I'm good. What happened here? I'm supposed to win. I'm like,
yes.
Okay. Or like, you know, deep breath. You're not deserving any win. You know, you did well. You're doing well. Keep focusing on your gameplay, you know, keep focusing on yourself. And that's like the stuff that I carried throughout my whole competition, you know, even in sports, speedrunning and all that stuff. That's like my approach, I guess.
That's really good.
And like another thing, I guess you could say, is like always work on your craft. Obviously in rando, most of the times it's execution, you could say. If you work on your craft, like you will be focusing on the game or the things that you love, and you will become better, and then you will see that improvement steadily.
Mm.
It's kind of tough, because, you know, results matter a lot, but the results are not everything.
Sure. Do they matter too much is probably another question. But I kind of like what you're saying there. It's control what you can control, right? Like, there is a randomness to this game, more so than even a lot of other games, where the items are literally placed in random locations.
Yeah,
and you can't control that, right? Like, the one thing that kind of bugs me is, especially when you're watching like a race, is everyone in chat criticizing what people should or shouldn't do, or like a big one is like my eyes. I hate that. I hate that one, because it's like in the moment of the race, it's just so much different than when you're watching and you're trying to, you know, make the best decision that you can, or a decision that will you think is the correct one. And when you don't have perfect information, you can only control what you can control, right?
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes to mention something about like the decision making, runners make mistakes like that happen. I think a lot of us like forget about it, that there's like that element, like the human element of like mistake.
Sure.
Like in one of my group stages in the main training, for example, I forgot to track the mushroom. I had the mushroom all that time. I never delivered it. It could have been something good, but it wasn't. So I was lucky. But everyone was losing their mind apparently in the chat when I watched the VOD. And I'm like, okay, you know, calm down. It's right. A mistake. It happens.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's so easy to be perfect when you're watching someone else do it. I mean, that doesn't just apply to rando. You and I watch a lot of sports and, you know, why'd you drop that pass or why'd you miss that shot? Or, you know, like it's easy to, he was wide open. Why didn't you see it or whatever? It's just like, well, you know, they're human.
But yeah, to sum it up, I guess, stay humble, always keep working on your craft and stay hungry. I guess those are like the three things. Steph Curry is the god of three-pointers, right?
Sure.
He doesn't need to practice. Nah, he's doing like 100 three-pointers in practice.
That's right.
He keeps working.
Right. On that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason. He's just not good because he's good at it. He's good because he puts the time in the gym, missing all those shots.
Yeah, and something also to say here, if you're not good at the game, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to be good at the game. Like,
right.
If you don't have the time, if you don't have like all that stuff, it's like okay to not be that good. Because like I keep hearing people say I'm bad and they're sad. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if you're bad. Just be happy that what are you doing with the time that you have in a way.
Right. Enjoy what you're doing. Have fun with it.
And exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the race element sort of exacerbates that a little bit, right? Because the whole point of a race is to win it, right? In theory, you know, most people don't win the races that they run, whether it be like a marathon or whatever. It's finishing, right? Like a lot of times it's just finishing is a victory. So it's like trying to find the victories in the smaller things, not just whether you won or lost, which I think the big, you know, you weren't here for when the big races were happening consistently. And, you know, the goal necessarily wasn't to finish first, it was to finish within the top half, right? Like just trying to be competitive. But now it's all 1v1, so it's a little bit harder to judge that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, dude, thank you so much for doing this. I can't thank you enough. Thanks for going a little extra long. I just find, your history I found super interesting, and I feel like we could have kept even going with it. So really, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to Fantasy Football League, hopefully.
Oh, man, yeah, I can't wait. We got to definitely get some fantasy football going in. It's going to be a good year for the Seahawks. How did you finish in our fantasy football league?
Sixth, I believe, something like that.
Okay, I think that's probably higher than I did. I did not do well. Huge shout outs to 2C for coming on the show. Really, really big fan of his. And gosh, someone that's just easy to root for. So best of luck to him in the rest of the main tournament. And really happy to have him on the show and really glad to hear his story. And I've just been really enjoying talking to people in the community and really delving into their history with not just rando, but gaming in general and growing up. It's been a lot of fun. And I was really glad to learn a lot about 2C, especially the speedrunning stuff. I found that really, really interesting. So let me know what you think in the Discord. 216pod.com has the links. Subscribe to the show wherever you can. We're everywhere. Got a whole slew of people lined up to talk to, so it's going to be fun. Next episode's going to be with Ganon's Gone Wild, who is controversial, I guess. And I know that there's some that might be hesitant to listen to GGW, but I promise you, like, the one thing that I've learned from the show is that people are very relatable when you're talking to them. I know that he can kind of come off a bit abrasive at times, but just hearing his story, I would say give it a chance. It's a really fun conversation, a really good conversation. I ask him some tough questions too. You know, I challenge him, especially because he's one of my friends. It's just a really good episode, and I'm excited for you to hear that. So that's going to be the next episode, and then I'm going to have something special after that. And like I mentioned, a whole slew of people that I've lined up to talk to. I'm really excited to talk to a lot of people in the community, so that's gonna be coming up. So yeah, thanks for sticking with it, and thanks for listening to this. See you next time.